Guiding Principles for the Young. Reading. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1, verse 3. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind, and be sober unto prayer. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. In God's Word is found wisdom unquestionable, inexhaustible, wisdom that originated not in the finite, but in the infinite mind. There is nothing more calculated to strengthen the intellect than the study of the Scriptures. No other book is so potent to elevate the thoughts, to give vigor to the faculties, as the broad, ennobling truths of the Bible. If God's Word were studied as it should be, men would have a breadth of mind, a nobility of character, and a stability of purpose that is rarely seen in these times. The mind occupied by commonplace matters only becomes dwarfed and enfeebled. If never tasked to comprehend grand and far-reaching truths, it after a time loses the power of growth. As a means of intellectual training, the Bible is more effective than any other book, or all other books combined. The special effort of ministers and of workers all through our ranks for this time should be to turn away the attention of the youth from all exciting stories to the sure word of prophecy. The attention of every soul striving for eternal life should center in the Bible. If you should read with the one object in view to improve the mind, and should read only as much as the mind could comprehend and digest, and should patiently persevere in such a course of reading, good results would be accomplished. Chasing through books superficially clogs the mind and causes you to become a mental dyspeptic. Those who have indulged the habit of racing through exciting stories are crippling their mental strength and disqualifying themselves for vigorous thought and research. There are men and women now in the decline of life who have never recovered from the effects of intemperate reading. Nor is the physical effect less disastrous. The nervous system is unnecessarily taxed by this passion for reading. In some cases, youth, and even those of mature age, have been afflicted with paralysis from no other cause than excess in reading. The mind was kept under constant excitement until the delicate machinery of the brain became so weakened that it could not act, and paralysis was the result. Intemperate habits of reading exert a pernicious influence upon the brain as surely as does intemperance in eating and drinking. There are many of our youth whom God has endowed with superior capabilities. He has given them the very best of talents, but their powers have been enervated, their minds confused and enfeebled, and for years they have made no growth in grace and in a knowledge of the reasons of our faith, because they have gratified a taste for story reading. They have as much difficulty to control the appetite for such superficial reading as the drunkard has to control his appetite for intoxicating drink. These might today be connected with our publishing houses and be efficient workers to keep books, prepare copy for the press, or to read proof. But their talents have been perverted until they are mental dyspeptics, and consequently are unfitted for a responsible position anywhere. The imagination is diseased. They live an unreal life. They are unfitted for the practical duties of life, and that which is the most sad and discouraging is they have lost all relish for solid reading. One of the greatest reasons why you have so little disposition to draw nearer to God by prayer is you have unfitted yourselves for this sacred work by reading fascinating stories, which have excited the imagination and aroused unholy passions. You are indulging in evil which threatens to destroy your spirituality. It will eclipse all the beauty and interest of the sacred pages. It is love for storybooks, tales, and other reading which does not have an influence for good upon the mind that is in any way dedicated to the service of God. It produces a false, unhealthy excitement, fevers the imagination, unfits the mind for usefulness, and disqualifies it for any spiritual exercise. The oftener and more diligently you peruse the Scriptures, the more beautiful will they appear, and the less relish will you have for light reading. I am troubled to see, in Christian families, periodicals, and newspapers, containing continued stories that leave no impress of good upon the mind. I have watched those whose tastes for fiction has been thus cultivated. They have had the privilege of listening to the truths of God's Word, of becoming acquainted with the reasons of our faith, but they have grown to mature years destitute of true piety. The mind is feasted upon sensational stories. They live in an unreal world and are unfitted for the practical duties of life. I have observed children allowed to come up in this way. Whether at home or abroad, they are either restless or dreamy and are unable to converse save upon the most commonplace subjects. The nobler faculties, those adapted to higher pursuits, have been degraded to the contemplation of trivial, or worse than trivial, subjects, until their possessor has become satisfied with such topics and scarcely has power to reach anything higher. The young are in great danger. Great evil results from their light reading. Much time is lost which should be spent in useful employment. Some would even deprive themselves of sleep to finish some ridiculous love story. The world is flooded with novels of every description. Some are not of as dangerous a character as others. Some are immoral, low, and vulgar. Others are clothed with more refinement, but all are pernicious in their influence. Oh, that the young would reflect upon the influence which exciting stories have upon the mind! Can you, after such reading, open the Word of God and read the words of life with interest? Do you not find the Book of God uninteresting? The charm of that love story is upon the mind, destroying its healthy tone, and making it impossible for you to fix your mind upon the important, solemn truths which concern your eternal interest. You sin against your parents in devoting to such a poor purpose the time which belongs to them, and you sin against God in thus using the time which should be spent in devotion to Him. Avoid reading and seeing things which will suggest impure thoughts. Cultivate the moral and intellectual powers. Let not these noble powers become enfeebled and perverted by much reading of even storybooks. I know of strong minds that have been unbalanced and partially benumbed or paralyzed by intemperance in reading. Many of the young are eager for books. They read everything they can obtain. Exciting love stories and impure pictures have a corrupting influence. Novels are eagerly perused by many, and as a result, the imaginations become defiled.